Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason DeRussia is in California right now, hanging out, taking his kid to college. I wish I was in Cali right now. Just on a beach somewhere, Santa Monica.
Going back to Cali,
Just hanging out. But we are in for Jason DeRussia, taking you up until 6 p.m. We got a bunch of sports items here in the final couple of hours. We're going to talk to Clinton Yates from ESPN at 4:30, and then 5:30 we will talk to Alec Lewis from The Athletic about the Minnesota Vikings, and we'll talk a little MMA at the top of the hour at 5 o'clock as well. But I do want to talk about the summit. They're calling it today's summit. The Trump-Putin summit is underway. The breaking news on a couple of the televisions here in the studio. Today's summit between Trump, President Donald Trump, and Vladimir Putin, it's a waste of time. It's optics to try and look good, to put on a good face for the world. That Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, they actually want to come to some sort of agreement that helps out everybody, that helps out both Ukrainians and Russians. And look, we know that this is not true. So I'm not going to even entertain this as like, I'm not going to sit here and say it's not a big deal, but it's not genuine, okay? What is the, I'm trying to figure out what the point is of Donald Trump meeting with Vladimir Putin in Alaska today. Does meeting Putin without Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky, does that accomplish anything? Like, if anything, you want to see all parties at the table. That's what you, that's how they're actually going to be able to hash this thing out. And look, if Mr. Zelensky says, no, we're not caving on this, that is his right as the leader of Ukraine. If Putin says, well, you know what? I'm not going to relent on anything. It's not right because he actually invaded Ukraine. But I don't think that this is getting us anywhere. Him and Putin meeting together in Alaska, what is going to get accomplished today? I think that all is going to happen. Only thing that's going to happen, at least in my opinion, and people can weigh in on the text line if they want, 651-461-9226, is I think that Vladimir Putin is going to say to Donald Trump, look, I know that you want to have this summit so that you look good. This is what I need. This is what I want. I think that this is all what this meeting is about, is Putin saying, this is what I need and want. That's it.
Yeah, I'm just kind of questioning what kind of compromise with the art of the deal. What is the deal that he wants to get struck? You know, we know that Russia may gain Ukraine's, you know, some of their mineral sources. So if you're talking about a land swap, we know that Trump has been adversarial towards Zelensky. I mean, that's not a surprise. We also know that Donald Trump has been friendly at times with Vladimir Putin. So the optics of it going in are not good at all, like you said. You know, I don't know what to expect. I do think that if you really are, you know, if you can negotiate with Putin and then Zelensky and you can be the moderator between the two, that would be great. I don't know that you can get Zelensky and Putin in the same room, but if you have to have these individually, maybe that's what you have to do. But I do think that Ukraine absolutely, they need a seat at the table because they are involved.
Absolutely. This is, when you look at this, how are we having a successful summit when Ukraine is not at the table. I want to see all three men be together and be able to get something accomplished. I just, when I look at this, I just don't think that it's going to be a real possibility of us getting to the finish line without Zelensky there. I think that Zelensky, I guess my point in this is that I'd love to see something hashed out. I'd love to see something happen. But without Zelensky being able to be part of that conversation today, I'm not buying it. Another thing, too, is the whole thing about the minerals. Like, remember this conversation about, well, maybe, you know, they'll get some of the minerals to Russia. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Ukraine's minerals to be able to give. Like, how can we speak on about the minerals?
I don't know. I don't know. If you're looking at a compromise, like Russia's going to get that. What does Ukraine get out of it? If they give their minerals, like I don't know. I don't know enough about the semantics of what is being bartered back and forth. But I would feel like this. Both sides need to get something out of it. And yeah, Zelensky absolutely. If not in this, he needs a seat at the table, and there needs to be. It needs to be fair all the way around. And you get the impression from the outside leading up that things are going to be a little tilted in one particular direction.
I just want to see everybody kind of meeting and talking about it, because the last time that Zelensky and Trump got together, wasn't that the meeting when they were at the White House and him and J.D. Vance were trying to tag team?
Oh, yeah. He got demeaned for not wearing a suit. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, oh, man. I just want this thing to be over. Let's go to Dennis in Malinjou. What's up, Dennis?
My opinion is there's two things going on there. It's Trump's attempt to try to get a Nobel Peace Prize, but mainly an attempt to distract from the Epstein files.
Mm.
He's not going to accomplish anything. He doesn't want to. He doesn't want peace.
Well, let me ask you this, Dennis, because I have not heard the answer. Why is he so obsessed with the whole the peace prize? Why is that such a
vanity.
Massive? Huh?
Vanity.
Yeah, I get that. But it's like, dude, you just went back into office in January, and you're obsessed with this.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
He is. He's obsessed with it. He'll do anything to get it.
Oh, man. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
No, but he'll do anything to try to get it.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the phone call from Dennis and Malinjou. Do you think that, so Dennis is alluding to the fact that he thinks that a lot of this is about trying to, and look, I think a lot of people say that the situation in D.C., which is just insane.
It's crazy.
That all of this is tied to trying to get the eyeballs off of the Epstein files.
Oh, absolutely. I do think with this, I don't know the sincerity of Donald Trump to really want peace with this, because one of the campaign promises was I was going to end this war on day one.
Yeah.
You know, within 24 hours, we were going to have a resolution. I'm not smart. I mean, my Minnesota public education tells me that it's been more than 24 hours. So are we really looking at today and August 15th as being the day that we are going to get resolution? I highly doubt it, because we're going to get some sort of, okay, well, this is what we talked about. I'm really upset we didn't get this. I'm going to put some more tariffs on Russia. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. I do think everything that is done, there is some amount of wanting to, you know, get people off the trail of the Epstein file.
It's not going away, though.
It's not going away.
It's not going away.
Because one thing that Donald Trump has done very, very well.
The Epstein stuff's not going away.
Yeah, you know, one thing that he's been able to do is just, you know, the old misdirection with getting people away from a certain topic. This is one that he had campaigned on, and it's not going away. So until there's a resolution, I feel like there's a part of the base that is always going to, they're always going to want that.
Yeah. Hey, coming up next, if people want to weigh in on this, they can. 651-461-9226. I see a couple people want to call in. We can take a break, get to your phone calls. We do have a few guests here the rest of the way from 4:30 until 6 o'clock. But this next segment, I'll take your phone calls. Let's do it next.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Well, the breaking news, according to all of the media outlets, we've got the televisions and the monitors here in the studio, is that the Trump-Putin summit is underway. I don't think anything's going to get accomplished. I really don't. And I hate to feel that way, but this is how I feel. This whole dancing with each other, with Putin and Trump, going back to the first time he was in office to now, like, it doesn't instill any confidence in me that they are going to be able to work out an agreement that is going to end the war in Ukraine.
No, nothing. There's been nothing based on past history that tells
you
that
Putin wants what he wants.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Vladimir Putin wants control of Ukraine. There is nothing about Vladimir Putin says that I am willing to compromise just out of good faith to be a good human being. He doesn't give a damn about what's going on in Ukraine as long as he can have control. He doesn't want, there's no peace wanting with this, with Vladimir Putin.
And by the way, a texter had, because we're going to get back to the phone lines here in a second, a texter had mentioned this a little bit earlier, that if it wasn't for Joe Biden, there wouldn't even have been a meeting today because Russia would have taken over Ukraine 2 years ago. Okay? Let's be clear here. The setup for that invasion and stuff is going back to the first term. Because remember, Trump tried to pull the quid pro quo with Zelensky. The first time around.
Digging up dirt on the Bidens.
The first time around. So let's not forget that. Let's go to Catherine and Blaine. How you doing, Catherine?
Hi, Henry. I really appreciate that you've taken my call. Henry, I just want to reiterate what the last caller said. Trump doesn't do anything unless it's for Trump. Let's remember that. And he's also, and he is, he's very, when he gets cornered, it's like he thinks of something else to get people away from looking at the Epstein fiasco.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. And anything he does. Okay, so I got to ask you one question. What is happening with all the tariff money that he has been, you know, collected from all the other countries? What's happening to that? Do we know?
It's making America great again. All the billions.
Where? How? How is it? How?
I'm saying that sarcastically.
I know that.
I know that.
But, you know, why isn't our politicians, why is it our Democrats are not saying, where is that money? Where is it going? Why isn't somebody questioning it?
Just any politicians. Like I'm frustrated across the board. At this particular point, and this is the reason why. So I give you a perfect example. I don't believe we talk about the gerrymandering and all this other stuff and redistricting and all that. I don't think that anybody looks at that and wants to say that that is a good thing for any state in the country. But at this particular point, I understand it when Gavin Newsom talks about it. I understand when they break quorum or don't have quorum in Texas. I understand all of that. There's a specific reason behind it, and it's because we're trying to not have an authoritarian leader in the White House right now. That's the bottom line.
You are right.
All right.
Hey, I agree with you.
Yep. Thanks for the phone call from Catherine and Blaine. Do we got any breaking news you want to dive into? Oh, yeah, we got some breaking news. I saw you hustling down from the newsroom, Susie Jones. What you got for us?
Well, this is a big deal. There is a flash flood warning for Hennepin County from now until 6:15. So we just saw all that rain come through, a lot of rain, several inches. It was 1 to 2.5 inches of rain in 1 hour, and that means there is a flash flood warning in effect, affecting small creeks and streams, urban areas, highways, streets, underpasses. Some of the locations, Henry, right in our wheelhouse here, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Edina, St. Louis Park, Maplewood, Richfield, Roseville, West St. Paul, the airport, Highland Park. So it kind of runs the gamut, Como Park, University of Minnesota campus. And be aware of your surroundings. I don't know if you've ever seen flash flooding, but it really comes up fast. You're not supposed to drive in it. I've seen flash flooding where it's swept away cars and people have died. Mm. And so we just need to be on top of it. It looks all right now, but it did come down hard and fast. And so now that threat is in play. That warning is in play till 6:15.
Till 6:15.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's interesting, too, about when you get these flash flood warnings is, and we have to be cognizant of this, especially when we're talking about people are in, you know, traffic and mm-hmm. it's rush hour. There's plenty of construction around the metro. So you got to take your time. Don't be rushing. And you, like you mentioned, have your head on a swivel. Be paying attention while you're driving because, this is a very serious situation.
And if you're driving maybe even on the freeway and you're not on your toes and there is flooding and all the cars have stopped suddenly or they're off on the side or what have you. So, you know, this is a real National Weather Service flash flood warning, and I named those cities, but everywhere from Minneapolis to St. Paul, Edina, St. Louis Park, and Maplewood, Richfield, Roseville, West St. Paul, the airport, North St. Paul, Falcon Heights, Newport, Highland Park, State Fair, Como Park, University of Minnesota campus, Fort Snelling State Park, St. Paul Airport, Lake Phelan, and South Minneapolis. So it's a pretty big area.
It's extensive.
Yeah. Yep. And again, it can just kind of come up fast depending on where you are. And maybe you're in an area that has had some flooding already yet this summer. And I will say this also before we wrap it up and keep folks aware of the situation that we are in for a lot more rain between now and Tuesday.
Yeah.
So we're going to see it. So again, keep your eye to the sky and an ear on WCCO radio and online.
That's awesome.
All right.
Hey, real quickly, this one text, the tariff money is paying down the deficit. This person is clueless about the deficit at this point. They're just clueless about the deficit. And beyond that, they're saying, man, you guys just hate Trump so much. You're going to let your listeners think the money evaporates. Don't be fake news. With regards to the tariffs, they probably think that we don't pay the tariffs. Come on, texter. Get a clue, man. Get a clue. Coming up next, my guy from ESPN television and radio. Man, he's multi-talented. He does an amazing job. Clinton Yates from ESPN. He joins us next to talk several sports on Drive Time with DeRussia.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
All right, welcome back to the Good Neighbor News Talk 830 WCCO. I have communicated, chatted with this individual for the last couple of years, but this is his very first time coming on the station. He is outstanding on both television and on the radio side of things. Think about that, ESPN, ESPN Radio, Clinton Yates. He joins us courtesy of the John Schuster Call Banker Hotline. Brother Yates, how you doing?
Lake Show, how are we living, man? I guess I didn't really realize it's my first actual time on the show since we talk about life in general, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, this is cool. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Man, I appreciate you giving me some time, man. First of all, congratulations on your radio show. You've been doing the radio show for how long now? Clinton and Friends?
Yeah, I've been doing it since right after the Super Bowl. So, you know, we started up then, and you know, we've gone through the summer and we're getting into another football season, our first football season as a show. So, you know, I'm excited. We've got a lot of listeners nationally and everybody's shown love, and you know, it's been an experience that I've always looked forward to, and it's certainly been fulfilling as we do it.
What do you like better, television or radio?
Well, they scratch different itches, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And as much as I enjoy radio, and radio is the reason why I got into this business, I will say that television is fun for different reasons. And also, you know, not to get too far down the line on this, but, you know, I'm going to miss the way that I got to do television. Around the Horn was a really fun program.
Yeah.
I got to make a lot of friends and, you know, just the sort of people around the business that I got to be in community with as a result of that program specifically made television a lot of fun in ways that I could never recreate, even if it was the same medium.
Yeah, I am forever a fan of that show, man. Forever a fan.
Thanks.
No question about it. That's how I learned about you and your talent. All right, so let's start with Major League Baseball, of which you're a massive fan. Oh, and I got a story to tell you a little bit later, too. I know you'll be a little bit jealous if you ever see this. But, the Minnesota Twins made national news in the way that they made 10 trades at the MLB trade deadline. And I know that we talk about, you know, if somebody's going to be buyers or sellers or whatever. We were more than just sellers, man. It was like we was on some other stuff. What did you make of the Twins being as aggressive as they did and tearing it all down?
I honestly thought it was pretty surprising. And at the same time, I don't want to use the word depressing, but you sort of think to yourself, like, man, you know, there was a time not too many seasons ago where with a certain amount of talent, people thought the Twinkies, as I like to call them, you know, were really going to give folks a shot. But I think the big one was getting rid of Correa. And not just getting rid of Correa, but trading him back to the team that he came from. Like, that just felt like something super weird about what the, I don't know, long-term plan is for the Twins. And, you know, Minnesota's a great baseball market. They've had good teams. People support to some degree when the squad is excellent. And I just kind of felt like, you know, Minnesota is one of those weird teams in the big leagues where it's not a small market in reality, but it is a small market in baseball. Minnesota is a completely, obviously, big-time place. And it's just unfortunate that the Twins of all teams were in that position at the trading deadline.
Let me ask you this. When you look around Major League Baseball, because me and my producer, we were talking about, and we do this in all sports, we talk about stars and superstars, and we know that there are way less superstars in sports than there are just actual stars, and stars can be from one market to the next. Superstars are much bigger than that. When you look at the Minnesota Twins, at least in my opinion, we don't have necessarily a superstar, but how much or how highly do you look at one Byron Buxton?
Well, Buxton is the key there. The problem is that Buxton hasn't played as much baseball as is required to be as well known by the nation as one could be. And that's just been an unfortunate circumstance due to injury. You know, he was at the Home Run Derby this year. Obviously, I was there. And he was, you know, well known. People like Byron Buxton. But, you know, the consistency has been an issue for him in terms of keeping his body together. And I think he's always been the biggest player that fit the bill that you're referring to in Minnesota, even when Correa was there, you know. And so it's too bad because he's a nice guy, he's a really good player, and he's an exciting player. But, yeah, I think availability has been Buxton's biggest issue, well beyond star power.
Yeah, we're talking to Clinton Yates here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Henry Lake in for Jason DeRussia on Drive Time with DeRussia. I think in my lifetime, I'm not sure if I've in person seen anybody as talented as Shohei Ohtani. And I watched from afar, you know, on a national level, like being here in Minneapolis and watching the Dodgers. You know, you live in L.A. Is he the best player that you've seen? Or who would you say in your lifetime is the best baseball player that you've ever witnessed?
Well, like, I mean, the thing is that I don't know that there's nobody that's even really in the conversation on a simple fact that, I mean, he both pitches and he hits. I mean, there's just no kind of way around that. And that's the thing about it. Even if you don't necessarily consider Shohei the most exciting hitter in the same way that a guy like a Barry Bonds had a sort of a different style in terms of the fact that you never might see a pitch and he's never going to swing, and the one time he swings, it might go out. But Ohtani has a level of consistency in terms of his bat, never mind how well he runs the bases. And on top of that, he's one of the best pitchers in the league. Like, there's no real comp to that in our lifetimes. There's been a good amount of two-way guys that have played the game that were pretty decent at lower levels, but nobody's done it at this level. And I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel on this. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
I think about a guy like, I don't know, Mark Kotze, who's the manager of the Athletics. He was a two-way guy at Cal State Fullerton, you know what I'm saying, where he was the closer, and, you know, he played the field as well. But, like, that's different. And that's no knock on Kotze. I like that guy. He's a part of the game. My point is that kind of stuff normally gets sort of regulated out of what guys are even able to do, never mind achieve at the highest level with it. So, you know, I kind of give him credit for being able to sustain being able to do both for as long as he has. And I give the Halos and the Dodgers credit for just kind of letting him do it. You know, if a guy's got that kind of ability and it's what he wants to do, you'd be shorting everybody by not allowing it just for the sake of perhaps a few wins here or there. But yeah, it's been really something to watch. And I kind of thank my lucky stars every night that I get to see this guy without having to do too much work, because it really is that incredible.
I love that you put it that way, and that we are being allowed to watch this greatness. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because I think it really does speak to giving something to the sports world and to the fans, right? Allowing Shohei to be able to be himself and do and show us all of his talents and his gifts. In the very same way that in the National Football League, I want Travis Hunter to be allowed to show the world his gifts. If he wants to play on both sides, let him play on both sides.
I don't know, man. I mean, I think the NFL is pretty different. And I also think that, you know, I've been to Colorado. I've seen Travis Hunter with my eyeballs. Like, he's not that big of a dude. You know what I mean? And it's not the same thing in the sense of the impact on the body is not quite the same. And, you know, just how well can you max out your ability when staying on the field is really 100% of what you're trying to do if you're trying to achieve that goal. I kind of feel like it should be defense and special teams first and second,
yep,
in that order, and offense third.
Yes.
Offense will come. He'll be able to score, but that's just kind of how I look at it.
No, we're in agreement. I'm not talking about him playing. Like his thoughts on how many offensive plays, no, I'm with you. Like, it's a totally different beast. I'm not talking about him, you know, playing equally on both sides.
Yeah.
But I would love to see him at times get some packages and be able to be a difference maker, because I know that's part of making his dreams come true. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, making his engine go. I agree with you. I don't think that you should summarily dismiss what a kid wants to do. But the question is, can you do anything at all if you're trying to do so many things at once? And that's always a difficult equation in the NFL.
All right, give me the top storyline that Clinton Yates is most interested in the National Football League as we start the year.
Ooh, that's interesting. I'm really interested in the Bears. I know that sounds a little weird, and I'll get to Minnesota in a little bit, but I just feel that the Bears are in this situation because I talk about this all the time. I think quarterback is the worst coach position in the league. And whether it's because of actual instruction on ball and on film, whether it's because how franchises kind of arrange their plans over the super make or break nature of how teams treat quarterbacks these days. Like, the Bears finally kind of have their alignment together with Caleb Williams and Johnson. And it's like, all right, if you're going to bail on Caleb after a maybe down year or an average year with a first year head coach and start this cycle all over again, like, please God, don't do that. And so the reason why I think about that is because I think about what's happening in Minnesota, you know, good team, relatively new quarterback situation, like, just give it a rip, you know. And every once in a while, I feel like teams got to figure out that you're not getting a ton better at the position by doing anything better than just improving at playing football. And the way to do that is to play football and get better. And I just kind of feel like a decent amount of these teams in the NFC North, quite frankly, outside of the Lions, who sort of have that question answered with Goff, you know, the question is like, all right, these guys got to play now, you know, and you got to figure out how that goes. And that's the fun part.
You know, when I look at the Vikings, I don't know what the reasonable expectations should be for them. But the one thing I will say is I do got faith in Kevin O'Connell in developing quarterbacks, man. Since he's been here, he's been able to help every single quarterback that's been on staff here. And so I got faith that he's going to be able to develop J.J. McCarthy into something, especially when you've got Addison, although he'll miss the first three games, and Justin Jefferson. And I got faith in Brian Flores. Do you think the Vikings could be solid this year?
I think the Vikings should be solid this year, and I think it would be reasonable for Vikings fans to be upset if the team did not make the playoffs. Look around at the competition. You don't just gauge yourself against oneself and what you think your own talent is. Look at who the other people you got to play on the field is. And for my money, the Vikings have as solid as offense as anybody in the NFC if they really get things cooked in the way that they should. And Brian Flores, his side lossy situation notwithstanding, I think is as good of a mind on the defensive end as anybody in the NFL. So, yeah, that's a quality combination for success. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with expectations, even if a guy is not necessarily the most experienced. That's what you're rooting for. Is that you've got enough talent to make the situation work, even if not everybody is the best player in the league at their position.
Hey, the last thing I want to ask you about, because I'm super pumped to go tomorrow down to Target Center, the Minnesota Lynx are going to be taking on the New York Liberty, and right now that seems to be the rivalry that everybody is kind of intrigued about and interested in based on their finals matchup last year. So they're going to run it back. This will be the third time that they played this season, and I think the final time they play will be this coming Tuesday in New York. But my question is this. We know that last year was an amazing year for the W, and there were so many eyeballs on the W that hadn't been there before based on the success of one Caitlin Clark. Do you think that that momentum has carried into this year? Do you think that they've been able to build off of that? Because I actually think that they have, even without Caitlin Clark being able to play an entire full season due to her health.
Well, like, so I'll be quite honest. I don't know that the fan base that was built specifically by Caitlin Clark is exactly the eyeballs and the people that were necessarily going to be best for the league anyway. Sure, there are numbers. Sure, there's visibility. Sure, there is attention. But I think what the WNBA has done best in the last season, I don't want to say forget about the basketball because that sounds disrespectful, but I say that as in the basketball notwithstanding, which has always been at a high quality, is figured out some level of identity. You know, these folks who have just kind of come in and said, oh, well, this person who is this is automatically the best and most important player that everybody should pay the most attention to. It's like, oh, no, there's a million things going on in this league. There are way more important issues and just in terms of, like, who the personalities that make this thing go are, never mind the fun parts about people who we celebrate. And so I feel that the WNBA is kind of, I don't want to say this the wrong way, but it's kind of really put themselves on a stage in which they can be themselves. Yeah. In a way that is very different than they have before, and not just, oh, look, we can succeed on a financial level. Oh, look, we're not just a little brother of the little sister of the WNBA. It's like, oh, no, this is a whole other league, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're either into it or you're not, you know, and that to me is as important as anything that one singular player may or may not have brought to the overall populace of the fan base.
I'm totally in agreement with you. Hey, Clinton, man, a pleasure to have you on the show, my man. Let's stay in touch and continue success.
Let's do it again soon, Lake Show. Appreciate you, brother. Have a great weekend.
All right. Likewise. Take care. That's Clinton Yates from ESPN, ESPN Radio, the show Clinton and Friends. You see him on all the different shows. Look, I loved Around the Horn. That's how I got to know him a little bit. Around the Horn is no longer there, but he still does tons of TV for one ESPN. We'll break. We'll come back. There was another non-controversy in my eyes. And this one specifically involves Serena Williams. I'll explain it next. All righty, weather's brought to you by B&M Tree Service. And we got Susie Jones back in the studio. And she needs to get everybody updated on the weather that's currently taking place right now. We got a lot going on with weather.
A lot going on. A very active weather situation right now in the Twin Cities. The National Weather Service issuing a severe thunderstorm warning for east central Carver County, northwestern Dakota, west Hennepin, central Hennepin, east and south Hennepin, and as well northeast Scott County and east central Minnesota. The National Weather Service saying at 4:44, a severe thunderstorm was located over Victoria. That's about 20 miles west of Minneapolis. It is moving east at 25 miles per hour. The National Weather Service says folks can expect half of a dollar size hail. That's pretty big. Train spotters have reported this. So damage to vehicles is expected, Henry. Want to keep people aware of that. That goes until 5:30 tonight. Also reminding people.
Yeah, we don't want that.
No, that's tough. Get your car in a garage if you have the capacity to do so. Also, that flash flood warning, because we've had, this is now the second sort of round of rain we've had. And there's 1 to 2, almost 2.5 inches of rain fallen in a very short amount of time, causing that flash flood warning. That goes until 6:15 as well. That includes those underpasses. JP mentioned it, but can cause a lot of problems on roadways, Henry, with cars backed up, with standing water. And again, you're advised not to drive through standing water. It can become hazardous at any point. So recapping the severe thunderstorm warning until 5:30 right now. This is a storm that was located over Victoria with hail as big as a half a dollar. That's pretty big hail moving from Victoria, which is about 20 miles west of Minneapolis, east at 25 miles per hour. So if you're in the area, please be aware. It's not a high wind event, we were told, but it is a hail event, which can cause a lot of damage. So if you can get your vehicles inside, do so. Again, this goes till 5:30, that severe thunderstorm warning, the flash flood warning, until 6:15. WCCO News Time is 4:56.
You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now, I'm sharing it all. Join me for Unfiltered Talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.